Joseph Lindsley standing by in Ukraine. Joe, I saw a report on NBC, Richard Engel, talking about how some tanks from the U.S. finally in Ukraine now helping out. But then he was describing these new weapons that the Russians have, actually old ones with updated technology, making them even more deadly than ever. And I believe that was some of those weapons were responsible for that terrible strike in a shopping center there. What's the situation as you see it today?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. And indeed, you know, I mean, the Russians have been, and as have the Ukrainians, been working to improve their technology. We especially see this with drone warfare. The bomb that you were referring to on the shopping center was a Russian glide bomb that was sent from an airplane over the Russian Federation into Kharkiv City. And, you know, those attacks were happening multiple times a day in the month of May. And now that is significantly reduced. And this is, you know, clearly in, you know, when the United States gave permission for Ukrainians to hit back on Russian soil, we see a clear reduction these past weeks in these types of attacks on Kharkiv City. And even in that, where the Russians made a land incursion in the Kharkiv region, about 15 to 20 miles north of Kharkiv, they've made no progress. And now it does seem indeed that the Russians are being pushed back. So when the United States gave permission for Ukrainians to fire back, we see that is working really well there. And then another success story for Ukraine in the past few hours, the Ukrainians used Ukrainian-made drones to hit yet another Russian oil refinery. This one is in the it's on the Sea of Azov on Russian territory, about 100 miles or so from the front line. And in a place like that, Ukrainians are not permitted to use American tools to hit within that far within Russia, but they're totally free to use their own devices, and so that's what they did. And you know, you think about the oil is so much, you know, it is what keeps Russia going. It's what, you know, helps fuel the war machine. Russians still make lots of money from oil throughout the world, and so the fact that Ukrainians can hit these facilities is a big boost for everyone here today. But all that said, it's still very difficult in many places. And in the past days, the Russians have made, they're pushing hard in the Donbas region. So while the Kharkiv region in many ways is relatively pacified, in Donbas, the Russians are moving in many different directions. They're advancing. There's a city called Pokrovsk, where I spent a lot of time in 2022 and in 2023. And the Russians are right down the road from that city now. So we are seeing Russian ground advances there. But, so it's always a mixture of good news and bad news day in, day out here.
Putin, as you know, is in North Korea. And John Kirby said to reporters, we're not concerned about the trip. What we are concerned about is the deepening relationship between these two countries. North Korea does supply much artillery and ammo to the Russians, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the Russians have been, I mean, North Korea has tried to downplay that. But in the occasion of the state visit of Putin to North Korea, the Russians have been praising North Korea for being such a, you know, for being one of their only friends, making it obvious that North Korea really is helping Moscow's effort. And, you know, as we look at all these situations, for example, I saw Elon Musk said on the Lex Fridman podcast recently, he said that 1 year ago, he predicted that the situation in Ukraine would be just as it is today. Many more people dead and no significant changes in land, and then growing sort of geopolitical tension. But what he's missed in that, and I think it's important to underscore, as difficult as that situation is at the front lines, and yeah, they haven't moved a lot. So you have to look at how much worse things could be. You know, the city of Kharkiv could be occupied. There could be Russians knocking on the doors of, you know, the city of Dnipro, and none of that is happening. So it's important to have that perspective of, you know, how much worse things could be. And on the same token, there was a, there's been a big story the past couple of days. The BBC had a headline about, you know, all the Ukrainians who are trying to hide from conscription. And if and it's true. I mean, many people are, you know, people that don't feel that, you know, it's in their nature to fight. And the story was focused on the city of Odessa and how people are doing everything they can you know, like hiding in your girlfriend's house or whatever to avoid the conscription. And that's true. But the thing that the story missed is that since the new conscription law came into place, or the new conscription order, more than about 1.5 million Ukrainians have signed up, you know, have gone to the military offices. Even if they feel heavy about it, they still, you know, are facing their obligations, and including 200,000 women. So it's, you know, as always, there's a negative part of the story, but then there's a positive side to it, too.
Joseph, as I've said often, your reports help put things in perspective for us here. And when you describe what's going on there in Ukraine, and then I hear people complaining about the cicadas being too loud here, it really it really makes me appreciate what you're going through and what the people there in Ukraine are going through every single day.
If you complain about cicadas, listen to the soundtrack of incoming missiles.
Yeah, exactly.
Hitting one block from your house, and I'll take cicadas any day. I look forward to that when I return to the U.S.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you, Joseph.
Until tomorrow. Thanks.